Let us now go back east to one of our favorites, and he's our holiday guy. I have the rhythm of his life down. When I try to find him before the holiday, he's out camping, hiking, doing something. Then he eventually shows up just before the holiday when baseball really heats up, and that is Paul White. Paul, how are you?
Good, doing good, Marty.
Yeah, where'd you go this week?
I went to the beach in North Carolina.
What part?
The Outer Banks of North Carolina, way up north, almost on the Virginia border, and sort of my annual thing just before school starts for kids, and then for me to sort of recharge for September and October.
Yeah, and I always, I have the family rhythm down because I look for you, and you know, you're gone, but I always know you're going to come back. I love having you on around the holidays. We do this on Memorial Day, July 4th, and Labor Day, and right around the trade deadline. You always give us such good information. Pittsburgh this week, really active, and Justin Morneau, Marlon Byrd, John Buck, Chris Johnson is pitching for them today, the six-year free agent from the Red Sox. The Pirates going to hang on to this thing. The town must be going nuts up there.
And, you know, I change my mind in that division every week. You know, I was early on the Pittsburgh bandwagon coming out of spring training. I thought they were starting to fade a little bit as the season went on. And, you know, I thought the grind was getting to them. Their bullpen was getting worn down a little bit. Some of those soft spots on their offense were starting to show up. Then they lost Marte, who had become a real catalyst for them at the top of the order. But, yeah, they went out and they got aggressive. And it remains to be seen how these deals work out for them. But Marlon Byrd's off to a good start. I think Justin Morneau, this will charge him up a little bit. And they've addressed needs that they had. That sort of first base outfield mix, with the exception of Andrew McCutchen, is really a place where they haven't got as much as they like. And you know, they've got part-time guys like Garrett Jones and Jose Tabata, Travis Snyder, who's been hurt. But now they have more full-time type guys, and Clint Hurdle can mix and match. And, you know, I think the key is now is winning that division, because you don't want to get in that wild card thing.
Yeah.
You know, probably the three teams from the Central make it, but one of them's gone in one night, and you don't want to get into that. If you're a team like Pittsburgh that hasn't been through this before, you want to have a chance to get your feet on the ground, at least in a series.
Yeah, you got to pitch your way through September. And as I say, the marathon is fun, but now it's the sprint to the finish. You know, Raph was nice enough to print out the August stats for me and just to take a look at it. And I'll give you just an example. Pittsburgh, pitching-wise, fifth in the league. They were 14-14 for the month. St. Louis, eighth, 16-13, and Cincinnati ninth at 16-11. Hitting wise, Cincinnati was fifth, Pittsburgh seventh, and St. Louis first. And with all that mixture, the three pitching teams, if you put them in order, that's the way the standings are right now. But the hitting is a little different. It's almost reversed. So you got to pitch your way. You got to pitch your way through. They did it in August, and that's how they stayed in this thing. And they better do it in September.
Yeah, they better, and it could be an advantage for them right now. I think the St. Louis bullpen is the one that's starting to show a little wear. They've got a lot of young guys out there, you know, guys like Kevin Segrist and others who've pitched well, but you know, the Cardinals like to point at their experience in recent years going through September and October as an advantage in this division right now. But I don't know if that translates to their bullpen. You know, the starting pitching's been solid, but now Lance Lynn started to have some trouble. Shelby Miller started to have some trouble. You know, the Cardinals are very vulnerable right now, and for some reason, Pittsburgh just dominates them, and that's a key element. St. Louis, whether or not they win today in the last game of that series in Pittsburgh, it's crucial that they regroup, because they're going into Cincinnati next.
Mm.
And if they go in there reeling, they could be in trouble.
Interesting. Oh, Paul White with us. A great perspective. As I said before you came on, Chris Johnson today for the Pirates, his second big league start, six-year free agent from the Red Sox. And he goes against Joe Kelly, who's been terrific for the Cardinals in August. But as I said, in the World Series last year, if Joe Kelly came in, good things were happening for the Giants. So the biggest game, well, of the day, of course, but, you know, as you say, for Cardinals to get some momentum. Look at the matchup.
Yeah, you know, I think right now, I mean, this obviously advantaged St. Louis with the matchup today, and that's crucial, because the last time they went into Pittsburgh, remember, was that five-game series.
Right.
and the Pirates beat them up for four games. St. Louis came back with it was a huge win. It was double digits in the last game, but it kind of woke them up, and they kind of got straightened out for a while and got back into first place between then and now when they came back to Pittsburgh. So, you know, the team that kind of strikes me in that division, Cincinnati, I keep waiting for them to make some sort of run. And you talked about them with the offense. It's the most consistent offense it should be in that division, but it hasn't been. They've got holes in it. Joey Votto is an MVP candidate, but after that, who can they really depend on? Jay Bruce a little bit. Brandon Phillips is a key guy. But there's too many holes in that offense right now.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. The Reds, that was the team I picked to do it, but they're hitting 250 as a team. And you're right. I keep waiting for it. You and me, we're waiting. Maybe when Cueto.
Dusty is too.
Yeah. All right. Hey, but the other part of September, which is a lot of fun, Paul White of USA Today is with us. The league awards kind of get, you know, you could do whatever you want the beginning of the year, the middle of the year, but that focus is so clear on somebody in September. And National League MVP, you mentioned Votto, Yadier Molina, McCutcheon, maybe someone from the Dodgers. You can have Hanley Ramirez in the mix. How do you handicap that thing right now?
I think it may come down to who carries their team in the Central here in September. The Dodger guys are interesting. I think Hanley's time injured is probably going to hurt him. You can certainly point to him as being one of the catalysts when they finally got it going. Puig was also. There are enough negatives around Puig, I think, that he wouldn't get the consideration. You could almost make a case that Puig was the catalyst for Hanley. Puig showed up, got all the attention. Hanley kind of said, oh, I better play here. Yeah. But I think they kind of split things up, especially as they're going to end up winning that division by a bunch, so it's not as crucial. But one of these guys in the Central is probably going to be a difference maker here over the next couple of weeks, and I think that's where it gets won.
And the team with the best record, Atlanta, over 600 ball, and there's not even a peep out of anyone for an MVP. Freddie Freeman?
Yeah, Freddie Freeman's probably your best case. If you look at them statistically, sometimes you wonder, how the heck have they done this? Justin Upton's had a nice year. Freeman's had a really good year. Dan Uggla's under 200. B.J. Upton has been horrible. I mean, Chris Johnson has done a nice job at third base. He in the batting race, but he's not an impact guy. And their pitching is outstanding, but it's across the board. There's not one guy out there like a Kershaw with the Dodgers that is just the dominant pitcher on that staff.
People talk about pitching versus hitting all the time. We get into it. Atlanta in August, all right? 27 games. They went 20-7. They're second in the league in pitching with a 250 earned run average during the month. Hitting-wise, 11th. They only scored 8 more runs than the Giants, and the Giants can't get out of their own way. So, again, you say it, and I'll say it. If you got to pitch, you got to hit a little bit, but you better pitch first, and that's what saves everybody.
Well, it does, and we've seen it the last couple of years. I mean, the Giants obviously have been so good in the postseason two of the last 3 years because of their pitching, because it's been consistent, and those are the teams now that are going to win. They're going to win in the end, and Atlanta has a really good chance. Again, these are the teams that want to avoid that wild card situation, because if you can get into a 5-game series, then a 7-game series, that's where your pitching can control things.
All right, Paul, stick with us. I want to ask you about the Chris Davis Cabrera home run race. And look, Cabrera's health now, is it an issue? And also, we'll look a little bit at the American League, what's Justin Verlander, what happened to him. And again, it's Orioles and Yankees. Boy, this one goes back about 50 years. It seems every September, the Orioles and Yankees would duke it out for some supremacy somewhere. That's going on today as well. A lot of good series. Cleveland and Detroit, Tampa Bay out here with the A's, Cincinnati and Colorado. A lot of interesting series conclude today. Paul, stick around. Let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with you right after this.
Talking baseball with Marty Lurie on KNBR 680, the sports leader. Now back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Paul White is with us of USA Today. Paul, do you see any major surprises in the National League coming up? I mean, for the standings, I mean, you think it's all set? Just the seeding, pretty much?
I guess the only thing that I could possibly see, and I really don't see this, is if Cincinnati would fade. I mean, if St. Louis went in there and beat them up at the beginning of the week here, Washington might have a chance to make a run at that wild card. But that Washington team is, you know, with the Giants, the two big disappointments in the National League this year. And Washington's a team that just never has gone on a run. They get some emotional wins, and they don't react to them. They show up the next day and get pounded. So I don't know that they have that in them, and I think there's a real negative feeling around that team right now. But that's the only possibility I can see.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, we're down now 26, 27 games to go. And, you know, when you're 5 or 7 back in the loss column, somebody's got to collapse, which we've seen. And that's why I bring it up. September always has that moment for me. But looking at the American League, how about the Tigers? I thought they're the team to beat even for the World Series. I picked Tigers and Dodgers about a month ago. But look at Verlander. I mean, all of a sudden he's turned into like, a whoopee cushion. You put him out there and he gets blasted all the time.
Yeah, if Max Scherzer hadn't been having the year he's having, they could be in trouble. But you know, the Central Division for them, it's a race every year as long as the Tigers allow it to be a race. And it looked like the last week or so they decided, okay, it's over. As they've done for the last several years, they're dominating the Indians, looking for a sweep today. I think right now the key for the Tigers, they got to get Verlander straightened out. You're right, because they've got to have Scherzer, Verlander.
Sanchez, Fister,
Yeah, and the other thing they've got to do, if they get a big enough lead here, they've got to start resting Miguel Cabrera. I know he'd love to win a triple crown, that's great, but if they're going to have any chance in October, he's got to be healthy. I mean, he's done a wonderful job producing even while he's beat up, but they've got to get him some rest, and with this big lead, they can't.
Chris Davis Cabrera, and you know, you're right, MVP, I would imagine, I'm just trying to think out loud here, but Chris Davis Cabrera, anyone else for MVP in this thing, having those kind of seasons?
Probably not, and I think the Orioles look like the team that's starting to fade in the American League, the one in the East, because I don't think they have the consistent pitching to go on a winning streak. And I think that kind of probably ends the MVP race, because Davis would have to do something special. I guess the only guy who might make a little noise, if the Yankees could make a run for a playoff spot here in September, and it would have to be for a wild card, maybe Robbie Cano, because he's been the one guy on a team that's had just a beat-up offense all season. But Cabrera is just so dominant. He could miss most of September, probably still win the thing.
Anybody in Tampa Bay? Now, Tampa Bay is kind of hanging in here, but I haven't been impressed with them the whole year.
They're very typical Tampa Bay, and they didn't pitch well early in the season, and that's what got them in a little trouble. David Price got off to a slow start. He's pitched a lot better in the second half. Alex Cobb has looked fabulous since he came back from getting hit with the line drive. Chris Archer is another good young pitcher. The guy that's been a problem for them has been Jeremy Hellickson, and they should get Matt Moore back from a rehab here in a week or two. And, you know, we talked about pitching a few minutes ago. That's the way they win, pitching and defense. Their offense is a little bit better than it's been, but Longoria is the guy that's got to carry them. Will Myers is a wonderful young player, but he's still learning his way in the major leagues. They'll be interesting if they get into the postseason just because they pitch so well.
Yeah, I'm not sure the A's and Tampa Bay become the two wild cards. I'm not convinced.
I'm not totally either, and I still think the Yankees have a little push in them here going down the stretch. I think they're the one team that can do something about it. Until Tampa Bay hit a little rough spot here in the last week, I thought they were going to give Boston a pretty good run for that division. But the Red Sox have stayed real consistent, and Tampa Bay's played well against the Red Sox. They have one more series with them. They've got to stay in position where they have a chance in that series to catch the Red Sox.
How about David Ortiz? If the Red Sox win the thing, putting him in the MVP mix?
Yeah, he's certainly in the conversation. He's the guy there more than anybody else. Nobody else has had a dominant year. I think it hasn't been that kind of year. One of the guys who never gets mentioned in this MVP thing, there's some interesting ways to look at that, and that's Josh Donaldson from the A's.
Right.
If you look, especially the people who like to look at wins above replacement WAR, if you look at contending teams in the American League, Donaldson has a higher percentage of his team's overall WAR than even Miguel Cabrera. In other words, he's producing a higher percentage of their attack than Cabrera is doing for the Tigers. And you know, you talk about Tampa Bay. Where's it come from? Atlanta. Where's their offense come from? Donaldson's been an interesting guy.
Yeah, you know, of course we have the A's in the area here. Coco Crisp for me last night, a home run. When this guy is healthy, things happen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's more of a catalyst. Donaldson's been the consistent guy all year and has produced for him. You know, I think really probably the number one snub for the All-Star team this year. But you're right. Crisp is more that catalyst guy, the heart and soul kind of guy that makes things happen.
Paul White with us. Paul Goldschmidt is another one for Arizona. We'll see him today. He's slowed down a little bit, but he was in the
right, again, you know, like Chris Davis in the American League, you know, if they were in the race more, I think his credentials would be better. But there's too many good candidates on teams that are probably going to end up in the playoffs.
All right. Manager of the year. Now, I don't know what your criteria is, but I look for someone who has to manage, not just
right.
Either getting out of the way or really working a bullpen or doing something. Who do you see manager of the year? Who are the leading candidates for you?
Well, in the National League, I think the two that interest me most are Clint Hurdle and Freddie Gonzalez. Not just because they won, but we just talked about the Braves. How the heck do they do it with all these guys underachieving? He's had to maneuver guys around. They've had a lot of injuries. And Hurdle getting the Pirates over that hump. Yes, they're better than they've been the last couple years, but they're still not the most impressive lineup out there, and he's kept them together. There's been some stretches where they've lost 3, 4, 5 in a row, and it could have been, oh, here we go again. So I think he's done a fabulous job there, and he might be the one.
I think Mattingly.
He's done a great job.
Just get out of the way.
Yeah, and the biggest thing there is, again, kept them together somehow before they got there. But I think, again, if they end up winning this by as much as it seems like they're going to, I think the perception is going to be, well, the immense talent level eventually just won out.
Boy, interesting. You and I have not talked at all about replay, and I just want to bring up a concept to you. As I did the post game last night, it hit me. You know, yesterday was sort of the big first Saturday of college football, and you have replays all over college football. And it's sort of ingrained in the game. The fans kind of go with it. I hit the off by mistake. Sorry,
go.
Paul. Sorry, it's Sunday morning. But hit the off button. The timing of these replays in college football, it seems to fit completely. Do you notice that? And we're so opposed to it in some ways in baseball.
Well, I think the key in baseball, and everybody I've talked to about it, I think the majority of people around the game want to use the technology we have to get it right without disrupting the game. And, you know, I think the key is going to be how it's handled, not from the standpoint of managers challenging so much, but how it's handled at the other end in this command center that's going to be in place in New York. Because if the people in that command center are paying attention to a game, they're going to be able to say, this is probably one we're going to have to look at.
Yeah.
They can be looking at the play before the manager even gets the challenge out there. The idea is going to be, let's have an answer as quickly as we possibly can, and certainly quicker than it would take for a manager to come out under non-replay and argue and throw a fit and kick dirt and do all the rest. So, you know, if we can make it happen quickly, I think people are going to be fine with it.
Yeah, I think it has to be in the park because you're going to have to place runners, and it's tough to do that.
That's a big key. That's a huge key to all this. And one of the things I think may very well happen, and I've talked to some people, and nobody has confirmed this to me yet, but talking to some people, some umpires, some ex-umpires especially, you know, one of the things that's going into place in just about every ballpark, you know, everybody uses PitchFX now to track pitches and stuff. FieldFX is the next step. And most ballparks are close to and will have a very high camera, whether it's in center field or home plate, a panoramic view of the game. That has to be available to the people who are handling replay, because you're right. where are we going to put runners in? You can think of myriad situations where it's going to be a play has changed, and what do we do with the runners? Somebody's got to be able to look at that whole panorama and say, oh, yeah, he was halfway to third. Put him on third. Or, you know, that guy, no chance he would have gone scored on that play. And so, but that, again, it's got to be handled quickly.
Boy, that's going to be the biggest thing. That's why I think you have to do it in the park. Because I think that ultimate decision, you can reverse a trap ball or a tag of the play or something like that, but that ultimate decision of placing runners has to be with the four umpires in the park. Because they have the feel for the game.
And they do, and they're there, and they've got to be retrained to be looking at those things. Be aware of where everybody was when a play's made. And the players are going to have to be conditioned. You know, like you see in football a lot of times, players will run out the play, even if, in football, if a whistle's blown, you know, pick it up and run to the end zone anyway, just in case it gets reversed. And, you know, if you think that ball was trapped, keep running.
Yeah.
and make them stop you, because eventually if it does get reversed, it's going to help your cause.
Yeah, and so you keep running, then they throw it in the stands, okay?
Exactly.
Now what do you do? You know, really, it's that to me is the biggest issue.
Oh, yeah. There are going to be more arguments about after the decision is rendered than there have been to the point now, without replay.
It's going to be interesting. This is going to be fun. But I guess my premise was that college football is generally a spot or a catch at a spot. But the fans are okay with it. If it takes 10 minutes to figure out did the guy catch it or not, you take a breath in that game because of all the violence and the hitting and the tumult going on. You almost welcome it. You know,
that's not going to play out. That's not going to play in baseball.
No, it's going to be different. Right, I'm glad to talk to you about it. Hey, have a good weekend. What are you going to do baseball-wise?
We're going to start picking up the races here, sort of regroup, see where we are coming out of the break, and start picking our spots for the stretch drive series.
All right. Now, if I had to ask you, World Series, and we always like to fool around with this, and you'll get a mulligan later in the month as well. But if you had to pick World Series teams today, where do you go?
Okay, opening day, I pick Rays and Giants.
So I remember that. Yes, we remember that.
Yeah, that ain't going to happen.
Okay.
That being the case, I'm going to go Rays and Dodgers at this point.
Really? You're sticking with the Rays. You like those Rays.
I think they're going to pitch their way through once they get in.
All right. Joe Madden's probably listening. He's on BART going over to the Coliseum because it took him 2 hours. Yeah, it took him 2 hours by the bus the other day because the Bay Bridge is closed. So he's probably listening. He's probably saying, good, Paul, thank you for doing that.
Actually, I told him before opening day that I had picked them. I told him I had picked them to lose the World Series, so I'll take my chances.
All right, very good. Hey, Paul, thanks so much for being on, and we'll talk to you as the month proceeds.
Anytime, Marty.
All right, that is Paul White of USA Today. Always a pleasure.